We are not kind of monads, you know, atomized units. We're in a line that runs from the tree to the wall, okay? Runs from Adam through to the present. And I would love to know, wouldn't it be amazing, you know, that to know, say that you're, let's say you're related to Martin Luther's sister. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, somebody is. You see, I mean, probably in this room, you would be totally flabbergasted. Now, there might be a few that you wouldn't want to mention, okay, in that line, okay? But you would probably be stunned and overwhelmed, and you would think, that's wonderful, I never knew that. That's part of your identity. You get the point. This is Israel's identity. And because they've lost it, they're just this little remnant. They need to know who they are. And the tragedy is, we don't know who we are. You see, and that is the result. That is the result of the Enlightenment, where we rejected all this stuff. And now we've got back to just the radical individual. And I tell you, Israel would weep for me. I'm a poor man because I don't even know the name of my great-grandfather. Can't even go back that far. And you see, you're supposed to, this is me, this is who I, and there's going to be, if we all knew it, there would be some magnificent heroes there. There'd probably be some scoundrels as well, but we can, you know, rub those out, push delete or whatever. But we don't know that. We don't know that. And for that, we are very, very poor. And the richness of the human family is being presented to us here. And I am running out of time. We got a forest of hands going up, okay? But I think I need to be faithful to our time frame, which is 12:15. I'm going to stop it there and just say, we will finish the genealogies next week, okay? And I don't mind if you feel... Nothing could be more important. And you see, we need this, you see, because we go through times... Now, you see, we are anchored into a civilization. And, of course, the civilization in the West is built, of course, upon a biblical tradition. A lot is made of the Greeks, Plato and Socrates, but the Western world has come out of a Judeo-Christian world view. Okay? But what's happening today? Look at marriage. Okay, what's happening in the realm of marriage today? That's right. People are advocating something that has never happened in a society since Adam. Okay, we've had sexual aberrations. That's always been with us. But now they want to legitimate it and say, this is normal, this is right, this is proper. Now you see, when we get to that point, we are in danger of forgetting who we are and where we came from and where we need to go. And you see, Western civilization is now derailed. It's now derailed. We used to talk about modernism, but we've left modernism behind. What are we into? Postmodernism. Now, postmodernism means we don't know where we are. You see, because it's post. What is it? Would somebody tell me, what is it? Well, it's after modernism. Well, I know it's after modernism. It's post. I'm not stupid. I know post means after modernism. Please tell me what it is. Well, of course, I could, in one sense, tell you what postmodernism is. But in a sense, it's called postmodernism. We've left modernism behind, but we're not actually sure where we're going at all. Doesn't have a name, except to say postmodernism, or some people say post-Christian, not that modernism was Christian, whatever. And so now we are in a period where we have been derailed. Now, sometimes the Supreme Court, okay, they decide something, and we all scratch our heads and say, how would the Constitution, can they come up with that? I mean, don't they read the Constitution? And we are totally, but you see, that is because when the Constitution was written, okay, it wasn't written in a vacuum. It was written with a world view that had sprung out of the Judeo-Christian tradition. That was what was in the minds of the framers. But you see, if you leave that behind and you don't remember, if the train has got derailed and you don't remember where you came from or where you're going, when you get to the document, you see, you're not going to have that interpretive grid any longer. So no wonder some strange decisions come down. You get the point. Because now we have got derailed. And so we need this book. We need this book. Just like that little group of people need this book, okay? So that we can get the right trajectory, okay? And get back to where we... Now, I'm not, as I say many, many times, I'm not in despair. I'm not in despair. It's okay, I'll just push that to one side. I'm not giving up, okay, on the Western tradition, okay? There are wonderful things happening, and I don't believe we've lost the war, okay, despite what's happening in the area of morals and education and whatever. But we badly need to remember, okay, we're just like that little group of people, okay? We've forgotten, okay, who we were, where we came from. The train has come off the rails, and he's writing this book to tell us where we came from and where we need to go. Okay, it's very, very important. I'm just going to read you a little sentence, and I want you to tell me what it means, okay? But also, I like this sentence. I'm not going to tell you yet who wrote it, okay? Virtue is of no value unless it can be lashed into a rage. Okay, I'll read that again, okay? Virtue is of no value unless it can be lashed into a rage. What does that mean? Somebody put it in your own words. Okay? While you're thinking. Okay, Jill, I'll read it once more, and then you tell me in your own words. Virtue is of no value unless it can be lashed into a rage. Jill. Yes, exactly, you see. And the point here... Okay, Jenny said, say what Jill said. So Jill, say it, and then I'll say it on the tape. We're going to get some microphones in here so that you can all hear. Again, Jill? I'll read it, then you say it, okay? Virtue, and then you're going to have it memorized, aren't you? Okay, virtue is of no value unless it can be lashed into a rage. Jill? Yes, exactly. You see, what he doesn't want, what the chronicler doesn't want. Oh, Jenny's saying, I still didn't say what Jill said. Okay. Jill said approximately that you have to believe, it's not worth believing in anything. It's not worth being a goody-goody. Okay. I'm a goody person. Okay. I don't do bad things. I'm a virtuous person. What good is that going to do unless you're so passionate about it? Okay, the word rage is used here in the sense of passion. And what he doesn't want, you see, is a few pious people saying, yes, we'll make the trip back home. It'll take 2 or 3 months. But hey, we want to be good. We want to be good Jews. We want to have a little bit of Torah. And we want to be virtuous. No, no. No, that is of no value. You have got to get passionate about this. You either believe that you are the people of God, that God raised you up to heal the wound of the world, and that the Messiah might come, that the nations might be blessed through Abraham. You either get it or stay where you are. Virtue, you see, is of no value at this point unless it is lashed into a passion, into a rage. and we begin to understand who we are. And hey, civilization has got derailed, and we need to know where this train came from and where it's supposed to be going. They needed to know that. We needed to know. God wasn't interested in them being, is it goody two-shoes? Goody two-shoes, okay. No goody two-shoes, okay. We want people who believe it so passionately, okay. This word, rage, is used. Now, you'll understand when I tell you it is Nietzsche who wrote that phrase, okay. And he was an angry man, but it is a good phrase, okay. Because, hey, don't be a goody two-shoes Christian, okay. That's not what God wants. Oh, yes, he wants you to be virtuous, but he wants you to have some passion about it. Okay, and if we really believe this stuff, folks, it should stir us into passion, okay, because we're living in a generation that's lost its way, and so were they. And he's writing this book, okay, we don't want just a few pious people in a kind of sentimental kind of pilgrimage to build a few houses in Jerusalem. No, we want a generation that will begin to understand what this has all been about since Abraham, and as Jill says, lay their lives down for it, which is what they did. Book of Maccabees, etc. Question.
Well, it's just a comment.
Please. If we don't live it, we don't believe it. Okay? I want to say that again. If we don't live it, we don't believe it. One of the great philosophers is a man called Polanyi. I can't tell you his story, but he had to flee from Germany. He was the greatest, probably, kind of theoretical chemist of the 20th century, as Einstein was the greatest physicist of the 20th century, Polanyi. But he went into philosophy and moved from his one field to the other field when he fled Germany, because you see, his bewilderment was, how could this Christian civilization, okay, in Europe, descend into these two horrible, destructive, terrible world wars? And his conclusion was quite simple. We don't believe it unless we live it. That was his conclusion. And he said, if you're not living it, you're not believing it. You see, and that is absolutely right. And you see, that's what he's saying now. He's trying to stir them up, okay, to say, look, this is not a sentimental pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, and let's put up a few homes, and let's have a bit of Torah, okay, and perhaps we could have a little temple, Eugene, and well, wouldn't that be nice, like our granddaddy did? No. He is almost slapping them around the face, saying, wake up, folks, wake up. You lost it all. You lost everything. You went into exile. Now I'm going to tell you who you are so you can get passionate about it and find your way back. And that's where we are. That's where we are. Glenn.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please do.
But I'd like to suggest a definition of a postmodern era called neo-paganism.
Yeah.
And using a prophetic phrase by Jesus, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man.
Yep.
The worst paganism the world has ever seen was in the days of Noah, not Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
Son of Man.
Amen.
You picture that in the face of neo-paganism and the coming of the Son of Man, not the blood of destruction. That's something you get passionate about.
Amen. Amen. And you see, this is a book. This is why I almost feel that I've been robbed by my tradition has been Chronicles is the least interesting book in the Old Testament. Okay. Because there's a few stories of David and Solomon, but I've read them in Kings and Samuel and so whatever. And I feel that I've been robbed. Because you see, this is a book written to a people in a very similar situation to us that have lost everything, that neo-paganism has flooded the whole Persian Empire, as we know. And he's saying, no, you know, we're not a little sentimental journey back to Jerusalem. Okay, let's get passionate about this, or let's not do it at all. Let's remember who we are, where we came from, and where God needs to take us. Del. Yeah. Right. Del is saying the phrase that he gets again and again is that I do not want to get involved. And one of almost the characteristic of our time is kind of disengagement. You know, that people don't want commitment. That's why they back out of marriage after a year or two. You know, they don't want commitment. They don't want to become involved. In Britain, basically, Christians backed out of the political process.